Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You will guess who this is tonight. This is your main man, Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, we are back like a heart attack. Let me stop saying heart attack because that's not a good slogan to say, but we're back. How about that? We're back. We got our team back. We're ready to rock and roll, ready to roll and rock. We're going to do some heavy hitting with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. I'm trying to sit up here. I'm looking at myself in my camera right now, you know, because we go live around the world. I'm like, what's different about me? Oh, I got dreadlocks. All right. I believe the last time we was on the show, I was bald-headed, skin-headed. I was the black Kojak. You know what I mean? I was just a black Kojak. It's all right. And, man, it's good to be on the air again. You know, we bring in some heavy hitters, some heavy host hitters, folks that we have given free airtime to. It's been about, man, almost 2 years since we've been on the air. I've been wanting to get on the air, but, you know, I'm like, nah, not yet, not yet. But now I think is the time. We have, you know, hopefully if she has the time, I know she has a big event coming up here in October, the Progressive Black Summit that Arlene Reed is doing, who is a pioneer of this community, West Fresno. She is one of my mentors who teaches me a lot. And I kind of asked her to come on the show tonight. I mean, we're not just... You know, not really talking about any topics unless someone wants to talk about a topic, but I just wanted to come in real slow, you know, just real slow, just to let everybody know that we're back. We're going to be running shows hopefully 5 days a week, maybe not on next Monday, but Tuesday. I got a sister all the way from Brooklyn, New York, who's going to be with us next week, and she's going to be throwing it down. She'll do a lot of Black Fortune. And Wednesday, we're going to be having our coordinator for our Fresno Farm Box. She's going to be coming on talking about the Fresno Farm Box and et cetera. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on across the country. As I say, everybody's happy and I'm tired. Everybody's happy and I'm tired. But anyway, we are back. Hopefully, we're going to be getting Dr. Gene Kennedy with a show. Then Dr. Kennedy had a show called Real Talk with the Number One Doctor. We might resurrect that show again. I don't know. I got to talk to him. But we did a lot of heavy hitting. You can Google our shows, Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show, broadcasting from the West Coast, the Golden West Side here at West Fresno. We don't want to live nowhere else. And so I think I see our sister on the line right here. And for those of you who want to, maybe you can call in, you can just listen to the show. You can listen on your computer, you can listen on your phone, and just chill, you know, take a chill pill, you know. But we're going to be having some live show. We're going to be putting up our website, our Facebook, and et cetera. But I want to go to Sister Arlene real quick, for those of you who may be watching on live stream or what have you. Please share the show. If you have a topic you want to talk about, hit me up in my inbox. And let's go to see what's going on here. Caller 5172, are you there with us today?
This is Arlene. Okay, so I just
want to call my sister.
Yes, yes. Welcome back, Reverend Harris. And I know I've missed doing the show with you, but so many things have happened since the pandemic started, and everybody is just trying to stay healthy, stay well, keep their families together, and, you know, keep on keeping on. But,
right.
I'm glad you invited me to talk about this year's Progressive Black Summit. As some of you know, This is an annual event that is hosted by Fresno Freedom School. And the first year, you know, we had a split event between New Light Church and Bitwise Theater in downtown Fresno. And that went over very, very well. We had a really good event, our first event, and our keynote speaker was Mr. James Bell of the Haywood Burns Institute. Well, this year, because of everything that has happened, the board at Freedom School talked about it. We all talked about what we should talk about as a theme this year. And this year's theme for the Progressive Black Summit is Food is Freedom. And I'm very lucky to have working with me on this project, not only yourself, Reverend Harris, Reverend Dr. Harris, but also Dr. Deborah Saxton, who is a professor out at Fresno State. And some of you may know that she's worked with and is an ally with Fresno Freedom School. Anyway, this year is a little bit different. Last year we had a two-day event, but this year we're having a three-day event, and it's going to be pretty exciting. The first day, we're going to have a guest speaker. Her name is Dr. Caroline Collins, and she's a professor at UC San Diego. And this sister put together a podcast called We Are Not Strangers Here, African American Histories in Rural California. And I think that you will find, I mean, this sister has audio, she's got slides, she's got all the important stuff to talk about African American contributions in rural California. So that is a change. That's going to be very, very interesting to listen to this sister. I've watched some of her video, and it's very interesting. So that's going to be the first day. And these events are not going to run for more than an hour and a half, so you won't get bored or anything like that. So the next day, on October 29th, we have a film that was recommended to us called Arc of Justice. And this film runs about 20 minutes. And there'll be time to, you know, ask questions afterwards if you want any information about the film. We'll have that available. And then this is the pièce de résistance. Our last day, October 30th, our special keynote speaker is Mr. Jemai Hargens, who is the founder and director of Crop Swap in L.A., and who also just happens to be a family member of our distinguished host tonight, Reverend Floyd Harris. So we are looking forward to this year's Progressive Black Summit. And I just want to put out there that food insecurity, food deserts, and things like that are more pressing than ever during this pandemic. So we in the black community here in Fresno and across the country are trying to double down on people growing their own food. This is a major project of Fresno Freedom School, and one of the reasons why we chose this as a theme. Growing your own food, your own organic food, making sure that you have access to food on a regular basis, that's affordable, that you can get to in an easy manner. These are things that before we didn't really think about too much, but this pandemic has brought it all home for a lot of us. So I'm going to leave it there, Reverend Harris. And if, you know, you've been part of this from the beginning, so if you have anything that you want to share with your listeners, please do, if I missed anything.
Well, we just want to thank everybody for coming to the resurrection of Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We'd like to thank Sister Denise for tuning in on live stream. Sister Eileen, I'm going to have to go back a little bit because, you know, I'm trying to get the cobwebs off, you know, and it's been two years since I've been on the air, and I'm sitting over here trying to move the phone over here so that everyone can hear you, and then I don't know what I did, but I just want to jump back to talk about who's going to be our main speaker and kind of go through that piece again, if you don't mind. I know my cousin.
No problem. Our keynote speaker is Jamai Hargens, and he is the founder and director of Crop Swap LA. And this is a brother who came to our first Progressive Black Summit and was not a panelist, but came to support us, and we thank him for that. And it was soon after that, I believe, because this happened, our first summit was in October. We always do the last weekend of October. And so Jamai Hargens is our keynote speaker, and I know it sounds kind of backwards that he's going to be the last day, but he's the anchor man in this relay that we're running about food is freedom. And so we're having him October 30th, and there's going to be time. He's not going to, I'm not sure exactly how long he's going to want to talk, but there will be time left over for questions and answers for people so they can talk to him directly and ask him that. And I do believe that Reverend Harris, maybe myself, I'm not sure, Brother Tony Bullock, are going to act as moderators for this three-day event. And so people have a chance to connect and talk about, you know, how they feel about food insecurity, whether they have food security, whether they have access to affordable organic food. These are the things we're going to be talking about during the summit. So I think we have a really good lineup this year, especially with the sister, Dr. Caroline Collins. This was a referral from Deborah Saxton, and I want to give a big shout-out to Dr. Saxton for all of her help and assistance with this summit this year. We couldn't have done it without her. I don't think it would have been a lot harder. And this is the important thing, this unifying our communities across the board to address the things that are important to us. Access to food should be a human right. And if it's not happening, then we're going to have to make sure that people are getting taken care of. So I hope that covers it, Reverend Harris.
Yeah, did you give us the date and time? If you can kind of go over that.
I can give you the date. It's as far as Caroline Collins is going to be October 28th, which is a Thursday. The film Arc of Justice is going to be on October 29th. And then on October 30th, our keynote speaker, Jamai Hargens, is going to be speaking. And I believe it's going to be in the evening hours, but I can't tell you for sure because some of these things are still being nailed down. But we will have flyers and PSAs out in plenty of time so people won't miss anything. So if you miss one part of the summit, say you're not available on Thursday, but you can watch the 20-minute film Arc of Justice on Friday, well, then, you know, we've got that going. And then I urge everybody to make time for Jamai Hargens on the 30th, on October 30th. So it's a three-day event. It's not going to take a lot of time out of people's schedules, and they will have an opportunity to have a Q&A at the end of each event.
That's great. That's great. We have Aileen Reed, who is the founder of the Fresno Black Summit, and we just thank her for her vision for putting this together, talking about food insecurities. It's interesting. I know Sister Denise is on the Facebook Live right now. She's been a big inspiration to me when it comes to food and a lot of other things she does, taking pictures. And she took all my pictures when I ran for mayor, and she's just a phenomenal black woman here in our community. You know, it's people like her that you never, hear her name a lot, but she does a lot of work. You know, and I think, you know, when we have opportunities to give people their flowers, we need to give them their flowers and let them know that we appreciate them. You know, I know Sister Denise had just purchased a greenhouse to go in her backyard, I believe. And I'm hopefully she's listening right now. I see her on Facebook Live. That maybe we get a chance to get her to come on the show as well to talk about You know, why did she purchase a greenhouse to go in the backyard? Most people use a backyard for, you know, barbecuing and all that, but she taking it to the next level to say, hey, you know, I want to be different. And there's nothing wrong with being different. And I think being different might make you live longer. And so also she's I believe she's veterinary vegan. So she cooks vegan food. I'm not sure if I tasted her vegan food yet, but I see it on Facebook, and she does a good job with that. And
videos of Rasta Kitchen. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I'm not sure what. Yeah, because I think her daughter cooks it as well. And so or she has her own business or something. I can't remember right now. So I think this summit right now is on point because of you know, what everything that's going on here in the country. You know, this war that's going on. And I'm hearing on, you know, KFBA that, you know, the folks over there is going to be running out of food in the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's a mess. It's a mess. I know Freedom School, we're getting ready to take out our summer crops. You know, we're getting ready to put in our greens and collards and broccoli and you know, cabbage and, you know, Napa cabbage and all that good stuff that we grow here in the community.
Could you share with your listeners about how we went from just a summer program at Fresno Freedom School to a year-round program?
Yeah. You know, the kids didn't want to stop. They wanted to, you know, when the summer program was over, you know, we were like, you know, we're done. You know, the older folks, they said, no. We want to do this year-round. So that's how we started farming year-round. You know, because the kids wanted to. They wanted to keep that momentum going. They wanted to keep that vibe going. And I think they just took a liking to growing food and planting it, putting seeds in the ground. And I was telling our coordinator for the Fresno Farm Box today that we were featured in a chef here. In the community was featured our eggplants, our Freedom School eggplants. And I told her, I said, look, you know, there's a relationship between Mother Earth, the plant, and us. Mm. And I said, and we have to appreciate and take care of Mother Earth. I said, now, you have to understand that when it comes to farming, that there's night farming and there's day farming. There's two different things, it's, you know. There's different dynamics going on at night than dynamics going on during the day. And one thing that our the plants always have to deal with is bugs and the weather. You know, eggplants love the heat. They love it when it's 105, 110. They love it. You know, we don't love it, but they love it. And so, you know, so it's a situation where it's a healthy plant. I'm going to try to, for our open mic tonight, not try, I'm going to hopefully make a lasagna eggplant lasagna, as well as my air fryers. I'm going to try to go ahead and make some a pizza and just slice them up.
Sister Maria's favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Maria, may she rest in peace. We miss her every
day. God bless her heart.
And, she left a lot here for us to work with. And so because of her, we're going to try to make that eggplant pizza tomorrow for our open mic night at 3 a.m. meet. And so, you know, so there you go. We farm year-round now. My front yard will have collards and mustards and some broccoli and some kale and what have you. And then our other sites, we're going to go ahead and plant there as well. So, I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to look forward to, like the Progressive Black Summit. get an opportunity to listen to my cousin, all the good work he's doing down in LA, you know. And so I could see him going real far, you know. Put him in contact with Brandy today. Hopefully he can get some funding, you know, for what he's doing down there. But like I said, we're going to do it moving. You know, Friends of Freedom School, we're not going to stop. We may slow down a little bit, critique some things. But our bottom line is we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize and take our youth to a higher level. And so, there's a shirt, I think Dr. Kennedy has, says do for self or be a slave. And so, you know, we have to do for ourselves right now. We're in a time right now where there's no depending on the next person. We have to do it ourselves right now. And I think that's one of the things that you taught me, Arlene, is to keep that fire burning. You know, no matter how bad it looks, no matter who you're going up against, you know, you got to keep going. There's no time to.
You know, I was just going to say, you've been carrying the torch and holding it high very well, Rev. And, you know, I am the current chairwoman for Freedom School, and it's an honor for me to serve. I've slowed down a bit with the pandemic and caring for a family member, but, you know, the thing is that I figure Freedom School is going to outlive me and hopefully everybody I know, because the fire that has been lit, and you as a founder know this, the fire that has been lit will never go out. We've had warriors like Sister Maria Ells. We've had warriors like yourself, like Dr. Jean Kennedy, like myself, and all the people who are on the board right now. These are warriors who are fighting for something that's important. You know, the biggest program we have now is our ad program, and that is thanks to you. And it's so timely that you're doing this and that the children are doing this. The need is so great.
I tell you something, Alan, it was very interesting. And, you know, we don't do anything for credit, but just looking at the dynamics of certain people and different organizations, I believe that it was Fresno Freedom School that launched here in Fresno, launched the consciousness of food. We've been saying grow your own food for over 12, 15 years. People are just now starting to catch on to that. Now, they're not going to call you as a chairwoman, say, hey, you know, we want to really appreciate you, Alan, for, you know, educating us about, you know, they're not going to call me. But I see people now growing food in their front yards. I see people now taking the initiative to grow food in their backyards. I see more people getting more involved and eating better and want to be healthy. And that was because of the Fresno School. I mean, we have people all over the country right now that supports us. We just got an award this year. I'm trying to think of the senator's name.
Melissa Hurtado, State Senator Melissa Hurtado.
Yes, she acknowledged Fresno Freedom School to be the number one nonprofit here in California. That's a huge award for our students. That's a huge award coming from senator from Sacramento. That information right there will go in the portfolio of our children when they apply for college.
Right.
That's huge for them. That's huge for them. And,
she was impressed when she came to the site, to the demonstration farm site. She was impressed with the operation and the wraparound programs that we provided for students. It was great. The students did a great job that day, as did you and the rest of the board members there. So I hate to toot our horn, but we did well on that one.
Yeah, we plowed a lot of ground. We plowed a lot of ground over the 12, 13 years that Freedom School has been, you know, taking the lead in the in this food desert conversation. And I just wish that people would learn how to work better together and understand that, you know, we have unity in numbers and power that we can move forward. And so I think once we can understand that, we can get more than the crumbs that we're getting right now. But for some reason in this town, it's like everybody wants the crumbs, but they don't want the pot. We're changing that narrative to say, hey, it's been 12 years. I just talked to a church last week about partnering with us. And I said, hey, you know, we just need an acre of land for our children. And Lord behold, that church pastor, as I was speaking with them the next day, said, your kids have an acre of land.
Wow.
Come on over so we can talk.
Wow.
I mean, that's how we build capacity. That's how we build community. Is for us to come together as a community, and if I have something that you can use, and you have something I can use, that's all to the good, right?
Well, but see, you don't just talk about that. You demonstrate it on a regular basis. I'm noticing. Okay, so Freedom School grows organic vegetables, and you make a point to make sure that the community around the site have access to that. And many times the kids are delivering those vegetables free of charge to the neighboring, you know, residents who live in Southwest Fresno. Now, how many other churches are doing that? Now, during this pandemic, a lot of, you know, religious churches have done food giveaways and things like that. Freedom School was doing this Before the pandemic, Freedom School was doing this, cooking the veggies, distributing the veggies, dropping off fresh veggies. We were doing all of that before the pandemic hit. So, don't just talk about these things. You demonstrate it as well.
Yeah, we're going to bring this number, and I think this is Brother Tony. I'm not sure. I'm going to find out. 3205.
Well, good, because I'm gonna hush and just listen to the rest of the show, but I was happy to be able to share about the summit. So I'm just going to listen now.
Yeah, so, you know, welcome to the show. We have 3205 on the line. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Pastor Harris and Sister Reed. It is nice to hear y'all voice again. Nice to know that we are back on the air.
Hey, that's my man. That's my leader right there, Brother Tony. He is there live. Man, it's been over 2 years since I've been on the airlines, and, you know, people been asking me about, you know, coming back on the air, and I just said it's not the right time yet. But now I think is the time with all this stuff going on across the world, wars and fires and Louisiana over there, that big old Ida hurricane or whatever it was, you know, and it's like, what more can go on here in America? We got the pandemic going on. Numbers are going back up. We got fires all over California and surrounding states. We got a war over there that's going on. We got hurricanes and all this stuff going on. I mean, what more can happen right now?
Well, you know, let's take a peek at it's what's going down right now, okay? So here we are in California, sitting in the middle of it in central California, better known as Mississippi, California, right here in the Central Valley. And we have a recall for our governor going on.
Oh, okay. I forgot about the recall.
We have Governor Newsom, who is facing a recall, and one of the leading candidates to take over as governor of California on the Republican side is none other than that tap dancing, that shaking, that baking, that always faking, Larry Elder, super coon for them folks over yonder.
Yep.
And Anybody with any common sense, if you paid attention to Larry Elder back in the day, you know he is not the man to lead this state. Anyone who says the minute he gets in, he's doing away with mask mandates and your children don't have to cover up and they can go to school and cough all over everybody if they want to, something wrong with that person. See, Elder is not out here for the people. He's out here for himself and for big business. Hurricane Ida just ran through Louisiana, Mississippi, sent water upstate to New York, and New York is now having to deal with floods and craziness. People, when I say things are crazy right now, they are crazy right now. Critical race theory being attacked. Okay? You see what happened with abortion in Texas. I have always said Texas was the land before time. Be damned if I wasn't right. So we have somehow, and Pastor, I just want to say this about you. You hold a hard road. You are out here on these streets of Fresno. You stand with everyone. You ain't worried about nobody's color. You not worried about how nobody is paying you, but what you are worried about is what's happening socially, financially, and stably to these folks. I heard Sister Reed mention you and our wonderful children over at Freedom School who have been making sure that our elderly in the community and outside of the community get these organic vegetables to help in their household.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that you have to do it, but you do it because you are driven to do it and you want to see this place get better. Now, speaking for myself, I'm an old school West Fresno resident. Been here for the longest. I went to Franklin. I went to Carver. I went to Irwin. I went to Edison. I'm West Side until I die. On the Golden West Side. And we know how Fresno is. We've seen things happen here that just should be. There have been promises made and promises broken. But the one thing I appreciate about you.
Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
I am.
If you could put the phone a little bit more up to you so we can hear you.
Tell you what. Let me do this. Okay, now I'm on speaker.
Oh, now you're doing good. All right, we hear you now.
Okay, now I'm on speaker. But I was saying that, you know, you have been battling for the community for a long time, and we really appreciate it. You have fought through and stood for people who didn't have nobody to stand for them. All people have to do is actually dial your number, and you're ready to step into the fray with them and stand by them. You've done that from Sacramento to here, and I just want you to know we appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we have your back.
You use the word Sacramento, and I don't know if Sister Eileen told you this, but, you know, Poor People's Campaign, you know, we led the statewide, the statewide conference here in Fresno.
We have a statewide hearing.
Can you believe that Eileen's mother marched with me
in
Sacramento?
She did.
We took her in her wheelchair. She went all the way down. We talked about Orlando. She was 102.
She was just 100 then, I believe.
100.
She was just turning 100 then.
I remember when all that went down. You guys told me about that one.
Yeah.
But see, that's
we're talking about one of our elders who have been through the struggle and still fighting today at 103 years old.
Exactly. And see, that's what we got to do. We have to stand, make a difference for our elders, make a difference for that next generation that's coming through. Because
that's
if
right.
we don't, nobody else won't do it.
You know, can I just interject this? Brother Tony, when you were talking about the promises made and promises broken, I just want to put it out there, and maybe one of the listeners can call in and give some information for me. But I heard that the social service office over here on the west side is closed down. And that's number one. The one that's on, I think, East Street is already closed, but the one that's over by the library, I guess, is closing down as well. And then the other thing is the Planning Commission going ahead and doing some industrial planning in Southwest Fresno against the wishes of residents who live here. So the fight never seems to be over. I just want to interject that. So if any of the listeners know anything about this, I hope you, you know, call in and share the information with us.
You know, and it's funny that you say that, because now where do our people who need social services, where do they go now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do they have to do like they have to do with Social Security, start trucking it across town?
Well,
because you know the game plan.
That's a good question.
You just said there's some movement being made for industrial parks to be put on that on our side of town. Okay, but you know they always had that in the back of their mind anyway.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't supposed to be any more industrial businesses going up, but I guess the Planning Commission had a different way of thinking about that. So,
well, you know, like I know, there's always been that we got you into these positions, so you scratch my back and I'm going to scratch yours. You take care of me, and I'm going to take care of you. You know that's how Fresno goes down.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And all them folks out north with money who want them plants put over on that side of town so they don't have to smell waste, so that their children don't have to breathe that air.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stick it over on that side of town. They've never been able to do anything about it anyway, so let's just keep putting them out there.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
I don't know if you all heard about, well, but getting back to what Aline said, I think that pulling the social services out was intentional. I believe that that building was made for developers to get money, get some rent money off of it, and then they pull it out. Because, see, what's interesting is, to the both of you, before it was built, there was a lot of advocating that went on for that. Oh, yeah, you know, the little poor people over here in West Fresno, you know, they need social services. And you know, this would be the right thing to do, to put a building here, you know. And so everybody gets all riled up. Developer come in, you know, they grandstand, and community leaders, you know, they over there grandstand taking pictures. Oh yeah, this is a good thing, you know, getting a shovel and getting a scoop of dirt and, you know, tossing it, you know. Now, here it is 10 years later. Look what happened. They pull all the services out. So what was the use of even putting it there in the first place if you was going to pull it out 10 years later?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's the stuff that we have to continue to deal with.
Right.
I was talking to someone, a social worker, who told me that the county bought the Pelco building out off of Ashland, and I think that's Airways out there. The county got the building out there, putting Fresno County social workers in there.
What?
So it's like, again, they go over here, and Denise had talked about this. They went over here and took the park over here from the black people. So black folks have got nowhere to go to relax. Play dominoes, nowhere here on the west side.
Is that's the old man's park, right?
old man part. They went in there to show you how much respect they have for us. Planted new grass, put a brand new wrought iron fence up, and put a lock on the gate. So now all the black people, instead of drawing their part that they grandparents paid taxes for, they're locked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, gentrification.
This stuff is orchestrated day in and day out that goes on here in West Virginia. I want to ask you all, have you heard about the shooting in Colorado with Davon Bailey? He was a brother who went, I believe, walked to the store to get something to drink, and then the police.
Yes, and he was, he was shot by the police, and now two police officers and two medics have been brought up on charges.
Right. I wanna play a video footage here real quick if we can, and just maybe talk about this as we get ready to sign out on the 9 o'clock hour. But we will be back tomorrow. We got some shows lined up. Also, I want to tell all of our listening audience that Brother Tony Bullock, speaking with him today about grandfathering him a show, if he will, or take a night. Also, Ms. Allen Reed, who had shows in the past, but you know she has so much she has to do. I know right now she's tired. She probably, her eyes is half closed and all that. But anyway, you know, we just want to make sure that we give all of our heavy hitters in our community from the grassroots perspective folks, an opportunity to have their own show if they want that. And then Dr. Has Black Lives Matter will sponsor that. So I want to play this here. And also, I'm going to play the video and turn this around so you all can see it.
Call of 911, what's the location of Valerie to see?
Hi, hotel, I'm just in the fountain at the... Karen's Gardens. I was walking down the street and some man just confronted me with a gun and they fought me and tried to take my belongings.
Okay, what's the address where you're at?
What's this address? 2348 East Boulevard.
Okay, what's the phone number you're calling from?
Phone number? There. The phone number? The phone number? I'm sorry, I'm calling you off an office phone.
Oh, that's
like,
okay.
There was just a business place in the area. I
don't
know the number.
What's your name?
It's a nursing home. They just happen to be right down the street.
What's your name? Is it your last name commonly spelled? Tell me exactly what happened.
So, there's these two black guys. One of them has a gun. They approach me to, like, what's in your pocket. And, like, well, basically, like, at first, like, I was startled, so I didn't really see, like, nothing, but I didn't say, like, out of fear nothing, and then, like, then one of the guys started hitting me, I fall down to the ground, and that's what I was sitting next to him, and he's like, you better tell me what the fuck is, and...
So we're going to stop it right there real quick. I have a question that I'd like to ask. Is why is it that, I don't know if I should say people of color, I'm going to make it more personal, black people right now. Why is it that when the black man walks down the street, including myself, that this society looks at me as a danger in specie?
Unfortunately, that has been going on for decades in this country. If you want to stop a race, you destroy what that race can be replenished with. That is the black man. If you kill off part of the seed process, you can kill off the seed. I don't know what it is about America. I when I was in the military, I could walk the streets in Kaiserslautern, Germany, and police would see me, and that bothered me at all. But come right back here to the United States and go to New York and Philadelphia and be out at that same time, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They're going to pull over and ask me, what you doing? Where you going? Where you coming from? We need to see some ID.
Exactly.
And, I remember being stationed at Fort Dix in full uniform and getting stopped.
This is one of the reasons why, Brother Tony, that they do not want to teach critical race theory that you mentioned earlier in schools, because if they did, it would destroy the notion that black men are dangerous, are naturally dangerous. They don't want to teach that critical race theory because it would destroy all of the racist, preconceived notions that they have about our people. Now, if were a black woman out there, then she's out there as a prostitute. So it's the same. Yes. This is a problem.
What's so
different
about today when the Black Panther Party was here?
And that's one of the reasons why the Black Panther Party was formed, for self-defense. People forget that they were called the Black Panther Party for self-defense.
For self-defense.
To defend against police abuse. And that's why they were dangerous, because they weren't taking any crap from the power
structure. Exactly. Especially in Oakland and Detroit, the police had a very bad habit of going into the black community and just beating who they felt like they wanted to send a message. And when the Black Panther Party came along and start rolling up on them and stopping them from doing this and then start taking them out, then all of a sudden we had a problem.
We had a problem. But see, people forget, Brother Tony, and you and I, you know, being well aware from young age about the process, the Panthers stopped and observed. They documented everything. This is before video cameras. This is before, you know, cell phones. They were writing everything down. They were getting names at times, addresses, all this stuff. That's dangerous business. That's very precise information taking. So they were afraid. They were afraid of these intelligent black men and women doing this job.
So why was it so important for Reagan to pass legislation in California to take the people who were getting abused, their protection, their constitutional right to carry arms, but yet said nothing to the police, who was actually the abuser?
Exactly. The police, the KKK, the white supremacists, it's okay for them to own weapons, but it's a problem if a person of color wants to, a black person, I'm going to say, keeping it personal, wants to own a weapon.
So why are the rules different from us as black folk and then those who are Caucasian descent? It seems like there's two different sets of rules here.
But the rules have been different ever since they brought our ancestors here in chains. See, this is what people don't realize. Nothing has changed. Everything old is new again. Mm-hmm. Out of the fact that they passed legislation in the early 70s to keep black men from arming themselves, what was born out of that? The NRA. the National Rifle Association,
which right.
basically went nationwide and is nothing more than a white supremacist group, although people of color can join if they would like, but you won't have a voice. This is why
see?
You now see black gun clubs coming up like you do.
Well,
because
check it out. We're talking about white supremacists that stormed the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol in D.C. on January 6th. And now everybody's trying to justify this. Oh, they got a commission. They're going to look into it. People are going to be investigated. Come on. If those
exactly.
were black people and brown people that have stormed the Capitol, it would have been a lot of black and brown dead bodies out there. A lot. And we know this. But you're right, Brother Tony. That's, these black gun clubs are very necessary because it doesn't look like things are getting any better in our community. We know that. 2021, and we're still talking about brothers getting gunned down and assaulted by police. It's ridiculous.
You know, I posted on my Twitter page today a picture that said, it had two graves. One grave headstone said, ran from the police. The other gravestone said, called the police. And the brother standing there said, pick your poison, which is true. Have you ever noticed black Americans call the police for a mental health crisis or domestic abuse or something's going on, and the police get there and someone ends up getting shot?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them going in and treating them like they treat white Americans.
Exactly.
Okay, I have seen videos where white men have literally pushed the police down, pushed them around, and then got in their car and driven away. Ain't no guns been drawn. Ain't nobody shooting at them as they drive away.
Yeah.
Well, the young brother in South Carolina who went inside the AME Church, I believe it was called, where it was a progressive ministry. I believe the pastor was a senator or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat there in Bible study for 2 hours.
Yeah, Dylan Roof.
With bullets in it, knowing he had an agenda to go in and massacre our people, our ancestors, minding their own business. And can you believe that the police apprehended him and drove him to Burger King or somewhere to get him something to eat?
Yes,
I can believe that. I can believe that.
That's
because
white privilege.
I don't get it.
They are treated different than we are. No matter what they do, they still get the benefit of the doubt.
You know, for us old heads, people get tired of us talking about this, but we have to keep beating this drum so people understand what we're talking about. This, nothing has changed about this. This white privilege and white supremacy has only doubled down. January 6th is proof of that. And I'm not saying that I hope to see a lot of dead bodies around the Capitol. I'm just saying if they were black and brown people who had done that, there would have been a lot of dead bodies out there.
I believe that if black people would have stormed the Capitol, like our Caucasian, whoever they were, did, I believe that the U.S. Air Force would have been called.
Say that.
Tanks would have been rolling down the street.
Yep.
I believe that they would have mowed us down with missiles, drones, all that stuff. And I asked a question to someone. I said, well, I don't understand how all these people, which we know was orchestrated by Trump, could get up that close and get inside and go to Nancy Pelosi's desk. Okay. And leave messages and sit in her seat. If black people would have done that.
Okay. Let's call this exactly what it was, all right? You had, and I don't care what anyone else says, you had people in the GOP, QOP party who had met with these folks in the previous days before January 6th.
Tours.
Kristen Boebert had given tours, and she could say she didn't, but she did. Marjorie Taylor Greene had given tours. They showed these people where to go. They showed these people how to get into offices and what to do, and somebody disconnected that alarm system. I don't care what nobody said.
Say that.
Somebody in the GOP disconnected that alarm system. This is why Kevin McCartney from California is so afraid that those phone records are going to get picked up. Why? Because his phone records is among them.
And see, we have to continue to tell the truth, y'all. We have to continue to tell the truth because it's so, I don't know, it's so out of this world that people don't want to believe their own eyes when they see this footage on TV. But all these white supremacist chickens have come home to roost. And if they want to understand this white fear and the white supremacists, they need to read Dr. Frances Cress Welsing and her theories about why white people act the way they do. The race.
But see, you know they're not going to listen to that. They're not going to listen to it because they're going to say she's selling out.
Mm.
See, they do not want to hear Frances's voice. Because let them tell it, you know, she's a betrayer of her own race.
But
she don't stand with them.
Saying that they're afraid of being white. That's why black men are so dangerous. You said so yourself just a few minutes ago. This is why black folks are dangerous. Because the white majority on this planet is shrinking. It's shrinking. And it's going to continue to shrink. And so they've already projected these numbers. But anyway, let me get off my soapbox on that one. But,
we, as Pastor said earlier, climate change, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires. Here in California, one of the biggest fires we get is the Caldora fire.
Yes,
it's still not under control. And it is burning more ground on a daily basis.
Yep.
It has become a fire tornado. So
we are in our last 2 minutes here, and I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. These are your two hosts, Brother Tony and Sister Arlene and Arlene Reed, and you know, we're getting ready for the Progressive Black Summit. Can you give us those dates again, the Progressive Black Summit?
Yes, I sure can. It's going to be Friday, October 28th, with Dr. Caroline Collins, professor at UC San Diego. Then on Friday, October 29th, it's going to be the film Arc of Justice. And then on Saturday, October 30th, it's going to be Mr. Jemai Hargens, founder and director of Crop Swap LA. Time to follow.
And who's the keynote speaker?
I'm sorry? Oh, the keynote speaker is Brother Jemai Hargens.
Okay, great, great. Now, is there a phone number someone can call if they want to help or volunteer or?
They can call me at 559-470-5172, or they can email me at progressiveblack98@gmail.com.
Okay, great. We just want to invite everybody over to Free AME tomorrow at 6:30. We'll be having open mic night. You can come and sing and do whatever you want to do. Hopefully going to be showing a little short video or movie with surround sound. We're also going to be having nachos, and I'm going to try to make an eggplant lasagna for tomorrow. We're going to have tacos or something like that. I don't forget what it was. But anyway, just like to invite everybody over to 803 Collins, 803 Collins here in West Fresno, 93706. And we're back. Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show is back. And we have a lot of hosts, Dr. Gene Kennedy, Alan Reed, Brother Tony Bullock. And we just want to just thank you for accepting us to come back today. We will always put information out on Facebook, the community calendar. Share it if you will. If you don't have time to listen to the show tonight, listen to it tomorrow because it's always archived. And Alain, I'm going to give you the last words on how we always end our show.
Yes, indeedy. We want y'all to stay black till we get back.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, one and all.
Good night.